Hi, I'm John Weber. My guest today is vocalist, guitarist, and songwriter Alan Harris. A three-time winner of the New York Nightlife Award for Outstanding Jazz Vocalist, Alan is regularly featured at the world's great music festivals. He's received a Chamber Music of America grant for his full-scale musical, Cross That River, celebrating the Old West as told through the words and music of a black cowboy. Variety calls him a velvet-voiced singer with a savvy manner and music in his veins. I'm excited to hear him today. Alan, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Hello, John. It's good to see you.
Man, oh man. Alan, when was the first time we played together?
You know what? This is going to be very pretentious, but I'm going to say it. It was at Carnegie Hall.
It was no less than Carnegie Hall. In 2007, you were bing, 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 bing.
2007. I was 10 years old then.
Yes. I was an ultrasound. You know, I wasn't even here yet.
Yeah.
But we did. You did a tribute to Johnny Hodges,
right?
and Cab Calloway. Oh, it was beautiful.
We had a lot of fun. You played, man. We just had fun.
You blew me away. I mean, you've proven yourself as an excellent jazz composer and a world-class vocal jazz interpreter. I know this is a jazz program, but your talents reach so far beyond jazz that I must ask, how does a jazz man from Brooklyn learn how to write convincingly accurate American roots music as well?
Watching TV shows, you know, seeing Fury, Flicker, Lone Ranger, and also my family has a farm in Western Pennsylvania, and I used to go there every summer and hang out and ride horses with men of color who worked on the place with my grandfather and my father. And I grew up sitting alongside them watching those old Western movies, and my dad would point out Woody Stroh. He'd point out Jim Brown. He said, look. And I was enamored with that, and I decided to do a little more investigation. And being that I am a student now of American songbook, I started to look back in his history and find out there was a time where we all, black and white, sat together on the porches together. And all this music that we're listening to now and creating is a direct result of us agrarian lifestyle together, black and white.
I love it. I love it. And you must be writing music day and night. I'm trying to imagine you writing probably on a lot of airplanes, because I look at your tour schedule. Seriously, every time I get an email from you, it's like, oh, check out my new single. Check out my new complete score that you probably derived from your experience wherever you went, whether it was in Pennsylvania or Bhutan or China or someplace. You're always playing somewhere far away.
Well, you know, being on the road, you have so much. We've been on the road together, so I can talk to you this way. You have so much time. Either you watch reruns of Good Times or Andy Griffin on the TV in the hotel room, or you pick up the guitar, and sit on the edge of the bed and let your mind just flow, and you just start letting all those things evolve. And that's how a lot of them happen, a lot of the songs happen.
And you score entire soundtracks and scores. I mean, two of them. You did The Cry of the Thunderbird and Cross That River, which are both beautiful, and they're both idiomatically correct. They both sound like the time and place they're depicting.
Well, I could take a little bit of credit for that. A lot of it has to do with sitting at the feet of some of these older artists who are of that lifestyle, the Americana music, roots, blues, and country. And I've had the pleasure of being out west on certain festivals with them. And they've actually pulled my coattail when I have a new song on a debut. They'll come backstage and say, son, that song's good, but you got to start with that fancy chord right there, because this is how we do it here. And they pick up the guitar and just blaze for me.
Yeah, I mean, what is it about roots music that reaches out to touch you as much as straight-ahead jazz?
You probably can answer this. Who said that in order to play jazz, you have to first learn how to play the blues? You know, it's our fundamental gift we have as Americans, that music that steps off the plantation, that music that steps off that country farm, that homesteader, that worker in the factory. That's the music that all of us together at one time really embrace each other from where we came from, Ireland, Africa, Caribbean. And if we dig further enough into our psyche as Americans, everything stems from that as far as our gift to the world as music is. So I decided to go back into that, research that, and open up my mind to it. And I tapped into it, that's all.
You are a very, very, very talented songwriter, and I would love to play one of your tunes.
And you know what? There's a lot of pianists I play with. I don't think I play with anyone who has a really grasp on stride in that as you do. I guess coming from Milwaukee or whatever, you know. Would you mind playing Can't Live My Life?
And
you
just, I would love.
Just go and just do John Weber with me, and we'll have fun.
I would love to play Can't Live My Life.
Okay. One, two... One, two, three, four.
up this morning, sun in my eye. Another night I spent alone, comes as no surprise that we had a quarrel and it tore my little heart in two. So I'm telling you, sweet darling, I can't live my life without you. That night you up and left me, my little world had just caved in. It's too late in my life, little darling, to look for some new love again. So you, oh yeah, have some pity. Would you make my little dreams come true? Would you turn your love around? I can't live my life without you. Whenever you smile at me, my heart just skips and spins and grins. Yeah, matter if we're alone or in that room of noisy, noisy friends. Lately I talk to myself, I walk around, I make no sense. Can't you see, little darling, it's you that I love. Can't you see, pretty baby, bring back my love. Woke up this morning, sun in my eye. Another night I spent alone, comes as no surprise that we had a quarrel when it tore my little heart in two. Telling you, sweet darling, I can't live my life without you. John, why don't you play a little bit of something on that piano? My heart just skips and spins and grins. No matter if we're alone or in that room of noisy, noisy friends. Lately I talk to myself, I walk around, I make no sense. Can't you see, little darling, it's you that I love. Can't you see, pretty baby, bring back my love. Woke up this morning, sun in my eyes. Another night I spent alone, comes as no surprise that we had that quarrel and it tore my little heart in two. So I'm telling you, sweet darling, I can't live my life without you. Here we go. Can't live my life without you, baby. My life without you, no, no. Oh, ready to take me home? Ah.
Yeah. Alan, you're killing me, man.
Man, you kill me. You tinkle those pianos like. There's an old black guy hiding in you somewhere. I know there is. Where is he? Come out. Come out.
It's great. It's great writing, great composing.
Thank you, man.
Great singing, great guitar work. My God.
Thank you.
You know, Tony Bennett's only got one favorite vocalist in the world, and it's you. I'm dying to know how you two connected.
You know, I appreciate him saying that because I love him dearly on many levels. He said that a few years ago, and we had a few drinks at the time, so
wow.
I'm sure he stayed true to that. I met him, I was living in Florida, and I was doing a show date at a venue there called Williams Island, and my friend was a manager, and it was a Sunday, we were off on a Sunday, and he calls me up at my house and says, Alan, a celebrity's gonna be doing a performance here, and we'd like a warm-up act. I said, oh, come on, it's my day off, you know, I'm gonna watch some football. I said, who could it be, you know? He said, Tony Bennett.
Oh yeah.
I said, ha. So at the time Tony just came out with an album called Astoria. Mm-hmm. And he was debuting this song called When the Bell Rings for Me by Charles DeForest. Mm-hmm. On Johnny Carson's show. Every time we went on that show, I ran to the record store at the time, which is Peaches, it's no longer in effect. Got it, had my piano player learn it, and we We did a dinner for him while he was eating in the middle of the show. I felt brave enough to do this song for him, and I did it. And he stopped eating his pasta, looked up at me, and came over and said, "Son, that's a wonderful rendition, blah, 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 blah. When you're in New York, call me." And we struck up a friendship from there. And that's how I met him, truly.
I'm sure you probably just nailed it. I wish I would have been there to hear it.
Mm.
Beautiful. And how did you get hip to the Tony Bennett, Bill Evans duets?
There's a few records that I feel every vocalist should cut his teeth on, just as instrumentalists. They have Kind of Blue and those records that they listen to. There's a few that we need to listen to, and one of them, Landmark Recordings, are the ones that Tony Bennett did with Bill Evans.
Oh, they're beautiful. 1975 or so?
That's right, 1975.
See, I would be thrilled to accompany you in tribute to that iconic Bill Evans, Tony Bennett canon. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, I could pick one?
Yeah.
All right, let's test your mettle. How about My Foolish Heart?
Love My Foolish Heart. Let's do it.
All right.
The scene is set for dreaming. Love is knocking at the door. But oh my heart, I'm reluctant to start. For we've been fooled before. The night is like a lovely tune. Beware, my foolish heart. How white the ever constant moon. Take care, my foolish heart. There's a line between love and fascination that's hard to see on an evening such as this. For they both give the very same sensation when you're lost in the magic of a kiss. Her lips are much too close to mine. Beware, my foolish heart. But should our eager lips combine, then let the fire start. For this time, it is in fascination, or a dream that will fade and fall apart. Yes, it's love. This time it's love, my foolish heart. Much too close to mine. Beware, my foolish heart. But should our eager lips combine, then let the fire start. For this time, it is in fascination, or a dream that will fade and fall apart. Yes, it's love. This time it's love, my foolish heart.
Alan, that was superb, man.
Well, it helps to have someone who just carries you along, man. Thank you.
There's something very intimate and direct about the piano voice format that you can't help but try to breathe together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just watching you take a breath, just thinking, okay, here's try to phrase with you. If I can't follow you, if you're doing something rhythmically, I try to follow that. And my God, I mean, how early in your life did you begin exploring the possibilities of this particular music setting where everything is very, very exposed, just piano and voice?
Sitting in the parlor of my father's house, and watching some wonderful artists come through there. My Aunt Phoebe, she sang. My mother played piano. And I would sit there and just watch how their interaction took on. I mean, it was just wonderful. I can go on for hours talking about it. It's through osmosis, basically. Just through osmosis as a young child, being exposed to this wonderful music and letting it carry me along.
I truly enjoy the fact that there's only two of us here and we're compelled to instantaneously react and interact conversationally. I mean, this is the way that jazzers speak with each other. It kind of transcends nationality and language. That doesn't matter. The language is what we're doing right here.
Totally. I mean, it's Tony Bennett said something wonderful about this. He said this interaction that we have with each other, this art form, this improv jazz, is our gift to the world.
Yeah,
and he said it so plainly. And when I hear someone like you play, and I get to hear your voicings and how you're so familiar with these songs, that helps. You're very familiar with these tunes. So basically, I'm just creating the canvas for you to help me put on, you know, put the paint across it.
Well, you're painting some nice pictures today. I want to do another one of those. I enjoy the Bill Evans, Tony Bennett. Mm-hmm. It was such an important series of LPs. I think it was two LPs that I remember. I would love to do another one, one of Bill Evans' original tunes. What do you like?
Oh, let's try Waltz for Debbie.
Are
you ready for that?
I love Waltz for
Debbie.
I want to hear you do it.
All right, let's see what we can do. Let's go for it.
Hey.
In her own sweet world, populated by dolls and clowns and a prince and a big purple bear, lives my favorite girl, unaware of the worried frowns us weary grown-ups all wear. In the sun, she dances to silent music, songs that are spun of gold, somewhere in her own little head. One day, all too soon, she'll grow up and she'll leave her dolls and her prince and that silly old bear. When she goes, they will cry as she whispers goodbye. They will miss her, I fear, but then so will I. Thank you. in her own sweet world, populated by dolls and clowns and a prince and a big purple bear, lives my favorite girl, unaware of the worried frowns us weary grown-ups all wear. In the sun, she dances to silent music, songs that are spun of gold, somewhere in her own little head. One day, all too soon, she'll grow up and she'll leave her dolls and a prince and that silly old bear. When she goes, they will cry as she whispers goodbye. They will miss her, I fear. They will miss her, I fear. They will miss her, I fear, but then so will I.
Man, you are in the music-making zone, sir.
I love that tune. I love the way you play it. It's such a landmark song for instrumentalists and vocalists. It's one of the few songs that they pair each other together. When you speak about vocalists who are playing with pianos accompaniments, that song is a landmark recording.
Oh, my God. It blurs the line between, is it a waltz? Is it in four? What is it? It's wonderful. I love everything about it, and you just do such a wonderful reading of it.
You get to play, I get to sing. It's nice.
Can't beat that. It beats working for a living, right?
It does.
I want to ask you about some of your other tribute recordings. For example, you've paid homage to Billy Strayhorn. You've recorded one of my new favorite, the Duke Ellington's sacred music. The sacred music, for example, is his reading of the Bible, and he starts from there's no nothing, there's no day, there's no night, there's the beginning, there wasn't any, and he describes all the things. He kind of takes the Bible and does a little bit what he did with the Nutcracker, where he just makes it his own 20th century thing. And you're singing all the parts about before there was anything.
In the beginning, God. And it's a long piece lyrically. Yeah. And he goes in so many directions with this project. Basically, Duke is going back to church, and he's being very eclectic about it. He's doing that neoclassical European style of his and throwing it back into the black thing, the church, for a minute. And it works wondrously. And some of the songs that I was privileged to do come Sunday, for one. I heard Mahalia Jackson do that on a recording. I didn't know that Duke had a major project based upon this song, Come Sunday. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with it. Lord, dear Lord above, Come Sunday. Joe Williams did it.
Oh, yeah.
And if they do a little research on this untapped vignette, they would find out that Duke really tried to stretch out from his eclectic music that he was doing all the time, you know, the Satin Dolls and the Brown Sweets.
Yeah.
This was getting back to his sacred. That's what it was.
His church.
His faith.
Yeah,
he's
his
going
his
back
faith.
To church, yeah, basically, yeah, and he's taking you with him under the guise of jazz.
Mm-hmm. Which is why, I mean, Duke is, of course, I think largely mostly considered the most important American composer of the last century. And this is one of his gigantic pieces, one of his magnum opuses near the end of his life, a Queen Suite. And certainly this one was big. He went through the entire Old Testament. They're naming all the books. And you sing so wonderfully on that. And I could just listen to that over and over.
I tapped into my Aunt Theodosia, my mother's sister, who used to drag me to her Baptist church, you know, and I used to watch them just perform. Come Sunday, matter of fact, was one of them. And I think a lot of pathos was released doing this project. We started to get into it, and I found out that a lot of these childhood memories started to come up as I started singing this music, and I just dove into it. It's one of my favorite recordings now, too. I go back and listen to it periodically, try to glean from it. But to get the full effect of it, you need all that Duke had behind him. You know, his whole, the orchestra, the band. And fortunately for me, I'm not privy to that all the time.
He's a genius, and he certainly reached you on that recording, and you reached me through him.
Thank you.
Of the many, many tribute albums you've done, that's my current favorite, although I keep on changing my mind because you did two amazing Nat Cole tributes, which I also adore. And he's certainly just one of the most beloved icons of all time as a pianist, as a vocalist. He did everything well. What drew you to Nat?
The way he painted pictures with his voice, he stayed true, no inflections, no curls. When he sang a song, you could actually drift off with him and believe that you're walking along that beach looking at moonlight. And he stayed true from beginning to end to the composer's dream, which was really hard, you know, especially coming from his background. He's a jazz pianist also. And the tendency would be to try to jazz things up when you sing because everyone wants to step out of the box. He just stayed true to the composer's vision. And with that warm voice of his, how could you lose? I was just drawn toward that. Now that I'm a little bit more older, I'm seasoned, I find that my voice lends itself to his timbre. So I can't run from it. Thank God it's him instead of Tiny Tim, you know.
but you make every one of these your own. I mean, you got Nat as a role model, but man, you just launch it into your own thing, your own beautiful thing, and it's something to behold.
Well, that's been of late. The past few years I've learned to develop my own style, and I have more experiences now with life. But starting out of the box, I stayed true to him because there was so much that he had done and so much that he, you know, why stray from him when you learn how to sing his stuff?
Yeah. Well, he's important to me, too, and I'd like to do a Nat number with you.
Choose
one.
Wow. Well, since you like to swing with me, let's try Love.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore. And love is all that I can give to you. Don't you know love is more than just that game for two? Two in love can't make it. Take my heart, but please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. What you got, John? What you have? The way you look at me, O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore. And love is all that I can give to you. Don't you know love is more than just that little game for two? Two in love can't make it. Take my heart, but please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. Talking about love, yes.
a little bit of love, bubble, bubble, it do be. Oh, yes. I'm in love, 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 love. I mean, love, 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 can't make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That's all I can say.
Oh, fun. Fun, man. We swing together, don't we?
Swinging!
Telling you.
There's more coming up with composer, vocalist, and guitarist Alan Harris. I'm John Weber, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR Music. Alan, you know, one skill that I appreciate about world-class vocalists like you is this, the ability to convincingly present a heartfelt ballad, telling the story, pacing the story. You know, singing a ballad requires so many simultaneous disciplines that I've decided to leave that to the experts. Tell me what it is that you, where you learned how to sing a ballad and what you do that is separates it from every other kind of tune that you sing.
The composer, for one, you know, making sure that you stay true to his vision and stay true with his melody. I mean, you can go off, it is jazz, you can go off as the song progresses on the second time around, but I like to stay within the melody and stay true to form. Nat showed me that, Frank Sinatra, Tony is a master at that. And also my audience, you know, when you look up and you read how your audience, where sometimes they'll take you where you want to go. Sometimes they'll take you to places that you didn't even know you can go to. If you observe them and you observe their mood, see if they're being fidgety during the song or if you relax, and keep them in that same place. Ballads do that because we're taught in school, you're taught by your teacher to hurry up and learn the phrase, play it correctly. You're not doing it correctly, you know, and you live with that and you feel that I have to hurry up and move on past this melody, past this phrase, past this note, because if I don't, I'm going to bore the audience. No, it's not that at all. Your audience wants you to stay there, especially when you know how to take them there.
We should do a ballad.
All right.
What do you think, man?
Let's do Ray Noble, and you know, let me pick one out of the hat.
What Ray Noble?
How about you like? The Very Thought of You?
I love The Very Thought of You.
Might as well. This is a definitive song that it actually explains what we're talking about through the melody.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll stay true to the song, to the whole song, and you'll just help me.
You got it, man.
You just help me, okay?
You got it.
That everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king and foolish, though it may seem. To me, that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know. slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love. Till I'm near to you, I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my
lovely. I could hear you sing ballads all day, man. I mean, I have no problem with a vocalist doing two or even three ballads in a row. No, I have entire albums. I mean, I've got Shirley Horn records where she's doing one after another. Yes. Go, yeah. Do it.
But she lays in the pocket, and she is of that ilk that we're talking about, where she can paint a picture and actually keep that storyline through a whole project and whole album, which is difficult, you know. Two or three ballads, when you hear someone, you're saying, okay, move on. Where's the groove? Yeah. Come on, let's move it.
Yeah.
She can actually take you on a journey through a whole six or seven, eight song project, and you don't get tired. When it's over, it just flew past.
Well, you do the same thing, believe it or not. And
I'm getting there.
I'm
getting there. It comes with maturity and confidence.
Yeah. I have heard you sing so many different types of music. I've heard you sing big band music in Europe, that great, fabulous Dutch band.
Metropole.
Oh, man, that Burnin', the two fantastic discs, your early stuff. I think that's when you got the attention of a lot of folks. Sammy Kahn, I think, introduced you one time, just saying that here's, you know, the next big thing. And just it's almost impossible for a male vocalist to escape the influence of Frank Sinatra, I think. Are you a fan?
More than you know.
Huh.
Yeah, Frank is an icon in many ways. Personality, movie star. He's just one of a kind. He's a guy's guy, you know. But he has a heart of a lion and of a lamb. Yeah. And everything from civil rights, opening doors for Sammy and all them in Las Vegas that no one talks about. And he never wanted to take credit for things like that. For him, with his recordings with Count Basie, bringing them into the Sands when nobody wanted them in there. I mean, I just love Frank Sinatra. his affinity with Nat Cole, how Nat Cole and he were really close throughout all of Nat's career until he died. Capitol Records, he brought Frank into Capitol Records, and on that note, Frank turned around and thanked him. And as a vocalist, just what he gleaned from Tommy Dorsey, how to sing the melody correctly, and he carried that all through his career. And even on his records, if you could pick up a sheet music of anything that he recorded and follow along with it, basically he stayed true to the composer until he started to swing, which is wonderful. But Frank had that gift. He stayed true to it. He influenced me greatly in that respect.
And you remember who Frank's favorite vocalist was, right? Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett. Oh, yes. Oh.
And Tony Bennett's favorite vocalist is Alan Harris, ladies and gentlemen.
He said that at one time, and I'm still trying to live up to that. You know,
you have more than surpassed everyone.
Serious. Tony is...
You're blowing just, everybody away.
Tony's just... I love him.
In honor of Frank Sinatra, I'd like to do one of Frank's big numbers. What do you think? What's a nice swinging thing?
Can I pick one?
Please.
But You Make Me Feel So Young off of the Song for Swinging Lovers.
I love it.
Can't get any better than that.
Let's do it.
Okay. You make me feel so young. You make me feel though spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I want to go and bounce that moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across the meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. Even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today. Just like a couple of tots running across that meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there's songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. Even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today. You make me feel so young.
Man, I'm feeling it now.
I'm feeling it now. Oh. We're locked in, aren't we?
Locked. I'm loving it. It just swings. It takes on a life of its own, doesn't it?
And when you do that Nelson Riddle chart and you hit Frank, you have to swing.
How can you not swing on a tune like that? You're just lovely, man. Killing. Beautiful. Is there some unexplored category of music you have not yet absorbed into your already enormous repertoire? Because you've done so many things on this show already.
I just want to hit it all. You know, whatever I feel enhances me as an artist.
Because I can think of like the Broadway stage. There was a really, really wonderful tune I remember I heard you do some other time.
Oh.
And that always, always just touched me. I thought... I want to hear what you do, because you're an actor too, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm acting now.
You're acting right now. You're acting. Well, you're acting cool.
To be or not.
You're acting pretty cool. Yeah. I would love to hear you do that.
You want to do some other time?
Yeah, man.
How about the key of G? Can you handle that?
I can handle G.
Ooh, who wrote that? Leonard Bernstein, right?
Leonard Bernstein. G, baby, ain't I good to you?
Yes, right.
Yeah,
wow.
Compton and Green.
Yeah.
You bet.
Okay, well, let's hit it. I love that song, and I love the way Tony did it, of course.
Of course.
You know, it's...
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Where has the time all gone to? Haven't done half the things I want to. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time. This day was just a token. Too many words are still unspoken. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time. Just when the fun was starting, comes the time for parting. But let's be glad for what we had and what's to come. There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time. Just when the fun was starting, comes the time for parting. But let's be glad for what we had and what's to come. There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time. Well,
some other time. I wish we had about 58 minutes more of some other time to play tunes together, because this, unfortunately, we are down to our last number of the show. And, man, what a pleasure it is to play with you.
Thanks. Same here.
And I want to actually delve into something, your tremendous skill as a composer. And the fact that you were able to write roots music is very impressive to me. It reminds me a little bit of Scott Joplin, who didn't want to be known as a ragtime composer, even though he was the king of ragtime. But he wanted to be known as a composer. He wanted to be known for whatever brilliant piece happened to come into his head, whatever, because he wrote tangos and other things. He tried his hand at a lot of things. And I want to hear you talk about one of your magnum opus works, which is the musical Cross That River, which is, to me, something that you really, really need to talk about.
Well, briefly, it's the story of a runaway slave, 1855 circa, who runs away from Louisiana to Texas. And we take him through the Civil War, the Emancipation, to the great cattle drives, where it really picks up steam. And he becomes a black cowboy on the cattle drives from Texas to Abilene, Kansas. And there's a lot of characters built around it. Disgruntled Confederate soldiers who are upset because they've lost their livelihood and their homestead. Now they have to be out west on the cattle trails with these dark cowboys. Buffalo soldiers, mail order women, card sharks. It's a blend of America at that time. There was an exodus, of course, everyone knows, from the south to the north of blacks. No one talks about the exodus that went out west, which is just as important. So I decided to write about this for a number of reasons. To empower children, we got a grant from the Chamber of Music of America, and we went to schools with it. And also just to empower us as a people in America, that there's more than just picking cotton and being porters and washing dishes. We help reconstruct the South and America after the Civil War by delivering millions of these cattle to the stockyards for food.
That's absolutely true, and it's a lot of history that it gets overlooked in schools, and I'm glad that the kids are knowing the real history of America. And to me, Cross That River is a great slice of America that we need to hear more of. And I'd be honored, really, to perform a piece for you, if you would.
Okay, let me pick out a piece, because you can use your skills on it. We call juking music. You know that.
Oh, I'll juke it.
You juke it, okay? How about Blue Is Angry?
Blue Is Angry. Love
it. Key of A, we'll just juke and have fun with it.
Got it. Love it.
Was dark as molasses, had hair like a buffalo, ran away from Louisiana, where he watched his folks get sold. He was angry, ooh yeah, he was scared, so he stole his master's stud horse and rode into the west. There is freedom for the taking if your will is hard and strong. Breaking stock and mending fences, rounding up those wild longhorns. Who was angry? Ooh, yeah, he was scared. But he tried to settle down, Lord, and live like a man. Fighting brother, gonna set those darkies free. He was angry, ooh yeah, he was scared, 'cause he knew those old slave owners would see me coming here. Oh, take me to that bridge. Thank you.
Powerful stuff, Alan.
Oh, thank you, John. I just love being here with you, man.
Love it too, man. Great writing. Look forward to next time we do it.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with John Weber and his guest, Alan Harris. This program is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio and is recorded at Hirsch Studios in New York City, with post-production in the Elaine T. Freeman Suite at ETV Radio in Columbia, South Carolina. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Andrew Shire, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production manager Grant Jackson, production assistant Laura Hunsberger. The executive producer is Kobe Hennessy. The executive in charge is Linda O'Brien. Special thanks to Anya Grundman, director and executive producer of NPR Music. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR member stations, and NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.